Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, connecting you to a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for joining us today. You can subscribe to keep up to date with us. Did you know you can also join our service each Sunday via a live online meeting? Please get in touch to find out more about that. But for now, we pray you enjoy what God has in store for you in this episode and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, welcome.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Nice to be with you. I'm Angie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're here on this, what at the moment is a beautiful, hot, lovely, sunny morning.
Yes. I think it's going to get hotter as well.
I think it is. Yeah, so we're in July. Obviously, you could be listening to this at Christmas.
Yes.
But back in July, it was lovely and hot and sunny. So it's good to have you with us. We're here at Hawley Baptist and looking forward to this morning.
Yes, if you were with us last week, you will know that Russell, who used to be pastor here, came and joined us for our anniversary service, and he kicked off the first in the sermon series that we're doing now, which is called Rebuilding the Walls. Mm-hmm. And the theme very much of his sermon last week was talking about the need for staying close to God. Particularly when you are setting out on a vision or a new project, so that you don't lose sight of why God wants to do it.
Yeah, I think it was interesting, wasn't it? I really enjoyed it, and
I did too.
It was nice to be back, obviously.
Oh, and, it was lovely.
Yeah, nice to see a familiar face. And the bit I remember is he was talking about, you were saying about staying close to God, and he was saying that, you know, if we do a quick, you know, God, get me out of this situation, prayer, God most definitely hears it, most definitely answers it.
Yes.
But a better way of living is that every day you're in that relationship, and you're having those conversations with God, and you're putting Him central and putting Him first.
Yeah.
Rather than just ignoring Him all day long.
You know,
and it does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's not to say, and we all know, don't we, that God does answer those help me prayers.
Yeah.
We've prayed lots of those.
He does. Yeah. But as you say, it is better to have that ongoing relationship because you get to know Him. He knows you anyway, and it just, you know, the bond is so much stronger.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess it sort of leads into today. So today, Helen's speaking, and it's when opposition strikes. Yeah. And I guess that follows on really, doesn't it? Funny that it's like it's a series that's been planned.
Yes, who knew?
So hopefully it shall be, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure one of the things she'll say is there's something about being close to God, so when opposition strikes.
Yeah, I mean, We're using the Nehemiah story, and I think you'll see throughout the story that probably the key theme is that Nehemiah is so close to God.
Yeah. And it's hopefully, I mean, Helen's usually quite practical when she speaks. So I hope she's giving us some practical tips for how we can do that.
Yeah.
So shall we have a look at the intro video?
Yes.
And get today's reading, I think.
Great. Nehemiah was a man who saw the brokenness of his city and refused to look away. His journey of prayer, courage, opposition and teamwork shows us that God is still in the business of rebuilding lives, communities and hope.
This reading is based on Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 9 to chapter 4 verse 23. Nehemiah left for Jerusalem with the king's letters and a military escort. When Sanballat and Tobiah heard someone had come to help Jerusalem, they were greatly disturbed. After arriving, Nehemiah stayed 3 days. At night, without telling anyone his plans, he rode out to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. Then he said to the people, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Come, let us rebuild the wall." They replied, "Let us start rebuilding," and they began the work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed them. Nehemiah replied, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding." As the people worked, Sanballat became angry and mocked the Jews. Tobiah said, "Even a fox climbing on it would break down their wall." Nehemiah prayed, "Hear us, our God, for we are despised." And the people kept building until the wall reached half its height. When the enemies saw the work progressing, they plotted together to stir up trouble. Nehemiah prayed and posted guards day and night. Some of the people said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And others said, our enemies will attack us. So Nehemiah stationed people by families with swords, spears, and bows. He said, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families. From that day on, half the men worked, while the other half stood guard. Builders carried materials with one hand and a weapon in the other. Each of them kept a sword strapped to their side as they worked. Nehemiah said to them, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. And so the work continued from the break of dawn until the stars came out.
Good morning.
Morning.
I couldn't have timed that better if I tried, could I? Oh, do that again. Hello, good morning. Have you ever done something, or maybe better, when was the last time you did something that felt right, but also felt really scary and that you knew might not work out as you were hoping? Maybe you stood up for someone being bullied. Maybe you gave something up to help someone else. But either way, it's hard, right? Because doing the right thing doesn't necessarily always feel safe. I wonder when was the last time you faced opposition when doing something you fully believed in. I was thinking about this for me, and I thought, well, clearly very easy to find an answer, because for those who don't know, I work part-time for the local council. And like many workplaces, there are a lot of systems and a lot of things that are, we do it this way because we do it this way. There seems to be no real reason. It's just the way that something has already been done. That system is just how it works. That is the process. I actually had an idea of a way that I know would work, that would streamline the system. It'd be a lot less work, a lot less stress. There were no downsides to this new system, except that it was different. It was change. So obviously, being local council, it got shot down very quickly, and we still do it the old, long, convoluted way. Everyone else been there, right? We've all been there. I see a lot of nodding heads being like, oh yeah, I know that story. So today we're going to look at two stories, in fact. One ancient from the Bible, about 5th century BC, and one from Hollywood, that show us that sometimes even doing the right thing, can, even when it's hard, can still lead to something good. Because here's what both stories show us. When you're doing the right thing, with God's help, good will win. It might not be easy, but it will be worth it. Last week, Russell kicked us off our new series in Nehemiah. I really recommend going back and listening to it on the podcast or on our YouTube channel. Hi, guys, by the way, if you haven't heard it as yet. But this week, we're actually looking at three whole chapters of Nehemiah, hence not listening to the entire reading this morning, because I think that would be my entire time gone. So do go and read through it when you get the opportunity. We've got some reading plans at the back that sort of take you through Nehemiah. So grab one of those on your way out if you want to. But that abridged version we just heard works beautifully for us this morning, has all the highlights, all the important bits that we're going to draw out of it. I mean, it's all important. You know what I mean. But a bit of context from last week's reading to set up this week's is that Nehemiah hears Jerusalem's walls are in ruins. Jerusalem is in ruins. Its people are in distress. His people are in distress. He's deeply moved, and he responds with a heartfelt prayer of confession and intercession, acknowledging Israel's sin and God's covenant mercy. Over the course of four whole months, he fasts and prays persistently, asking for favor with King Artaxerxes. Thank you, Russell, for teaching me how to pronounce that name last week. When the opportunity comes, Nehemiah bravely speaks to said king. risking his life by appearing sad in his presence. And remarkably, the king grants him permission, resource, and authority to return and rebuild an area that he was actually responsible for the destruction and unrest in that area. So Nehemiah steps forward in faith and in wisdom, trusting that because he is doing what is right before God, he will succeed even in the face of potential danger. Nehemiah hears that Jerusalem, God's city, his city, is broken. The walls are rubble, the people are afraid. So what did he do? He prayed and then he acted. He goes to a massive, scary king who easily could have had him killed to ask and go and rebuild these walls. And amazingly, the king says yes. He arrives in Jerusalem and says to the people, "Hey guys, let's rebuild." And guess what? Everyone actually joins in. I think sometimes we can be like, oh no, I'm too scared to do that. I'm not going to do it. But here, everyone caught the vision. Everyone knew that this was the right thing to do. Perfume makers, priests, guards, goldsmiths all came together and worked side by side. Even though they're tired, even though they're afraid, they choose to do what is right. Chapter 3 goes on as a beautiful list of names, jobs, and doorways. It may seem boring at first glance, but it really isn't. It's a powerful reminder that everyone joined in. From all different walks of life, everyone was invited and everyone pitched in. But not everyone rebuilt the same thing. Some worked on gates, others repaired towers, some families worked near their houses. Even the perfume makers put down their oils and picked up bricks. But I'm not going to talk too much about that because I could go off on one, and that whole idea excites me a lot. But next week, Martin is going to be looking at being together and working together. So tune in next week for that one. However, in all that beauty and all that unity and working together, enemies rise up. Sanballat and Tobiah, and then later Geshem, mock them, threaten them, and try to stop the work. But what's Nehemiah's response? "We prayed to our God and we posted a guard. Don't be afraid. Fight for your families. God will help us." And because they didn't give up, good wins. God wins. The wall is rebuilt. The people are stronger. The faith is renewed. Because you see, Nehemiah isn't just a good leader. He's a person of deep, stubborn faith. He's not a superhero. He's someone who gets overwhelmed. He cries, he doubts. But what sets him apart is that when he sees a problem, he prays first, then acts boldly. I think many of us fall into one of those categories. Either we pray about it or we act upon it. But Nehemiah teaches us the importance of praying and acting. In chapter 2, a little bit before, Nehemiah, I was going to fall over at some point, doesn't rush in like a bulldozer. He takes the time. He walks quietly through the ruins at night, looking at what's broken before doing anything. That's wisdom. But what about us? When something around us is broken, in our family, our church, our workplace, our town, do we take time and stop and ask God, "What's really going on here? What part could I play in this?" Because then comes a pressure in chapter 4. People get mocked. "What are these feeble Jews doing?" They get threatened. "If a fox jumps on that wall, it'll fall down." I love that apparently foxes were even a problem in 5th century BC. We can relate to this story. But that's not just mockery. It's intimidation. Maybe that sounds familiar as well. Potentially online, at work, at school. But maybe it's just your inner voice saying, "You're not good enough." It's so easy to get distracted or discouraged by those who mock us or try to stop us even when it is ourself. When voices shout, "You're not good enough. You're gonna fail." It's tempting to listen. But Nehemiah shows us another way. He chooses to focus not on the critics, but on God's faithfulness and God's purpose. So how do we remind ourselves to keep our eyes on God and not the noise around us? Let's just think about that for a moment. Because when Nehemiah faced mocking and threats, he didn't let those voices distract him. He kept his eyes on God's purpose and God's promise. So how do we do that when people doubt us or when fear and negativity creep in? I've got 5 quick things. 1, remember God's faithfulness. Look back at times that God has helped you or has helped others before. Sometimes I find that easier. This builds confidence to face today's challenges. 2, pray regularly. Prayer is a powerful way to refocus and remind ourselves whose approval it is really matters, who it is we're really working for. 3, use scripture. Keep verses close to heart that encourage courage and trust. For example, Nehemiah 4:14 from today's passage says, "Don't be afraid. God will help us." 4, find a supportive community. Hopefully you find that here. Surround yourselves with people who encourage your faith and remind you of God's strength. Maybe join a house group for that one if you're not in one already. Come and talk to me at the end, or Martin. 5, take practical steps like Nehemiah. Combine faith with action. Pray, then prepare, and move forwards. By focusing on God and not the critics, you can keep going even when it feels tough. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He prayed to God and took practical steps, posting guards, encouraging the people, and keeping the work going, faith and action together. But Nehemiah does something brilliant. He prays and gets practical. We prayed and we posted. He doesn't pretend problems don't exist. He trusts God and uses his brain, faith and wisdom together. He even gets people to work with one hand and hold a weapon in the other. Now that is focus and resilience. And maybe you feel like you're doing your best, but it's hard. You've got a trowel in one hand, trying to build something good, and a shield in the other, trying to protect your peace, your energy, your family, your faith. Don't give up. Nehemiah and his fellow people succeeded because God was with them. You can do the same. Because when we keep going, keep trusting, and keep building, good wins when God wins. Because when you're doing the right thing with God's help, good will win. It might not be easy, but it will be worth it. You may now be sat there thinking, this is an old story. Yeah, there are bits of it, but it doesn't really apply now. Like, I'm not physically building a wall and holding a shield. That's not where I am. But it is a story that we see time and time again, so much so that even Hollywood is telling this story. So let's jump to a galaxy far, far away. That's right, we're doing Star Wars. Apologies to the original purists, we're talking sequel trilogy. I know. I think the Doolies might walk out at this moment. It's lovely guys to have you guys here. Apologies to do this to you. But Rey is a nobody, just like Nehemiah. She hears that something is wrong. The First Order is rising, the resistance is weak, but she chooses to fight for what's right. Not for power, not for revenge, but for hope. She could have run, but she doesn't. Finn is a stormtrooper. He could have stayed quiet, but he doesn't. Poe could have given up, but he keeps leading. They're all choosing to do the right thing, even though it's scary. And when it looks like all hope is lost, something amazing happens. People all over the galaxy rise up and join in. Because doing the right thing may feel small, but it inspires others. And in the end, evil is defeated, not by lightsabers and spaceships, but by faithfulness, courage, and unity. But what about us? We're not rebuilding Jerusalem and we're not flying X-wings. But God is still calling us to do the right thing, even when it's hard. That might mean standing up for someone at work, saying sorry and meaning it, praying when we don't feel like it, giving our time or money to help others, speaking out against things that hurt people or dishonor God. Nehemiah didn't do it alone. Ray didn't do it alone. And we don't do it alone either. Yes, we have each other, but even bigger and even more powerful than that, Jesus walks with us. The Holy Spirit gives us strength. And we, the church, are meant to build together. Talk about doing the right thing in the face of adversity because God is calling you to do it. Jesus didn't just teach us to do the right thing. He lived it all the way to the cross. He faced injustice, mockery, betrayal, and still chose love. Because he rose again, we don't just have a good example. We have a savior who walks with us, empowers us, and invites us to build his kingdom here. Because when you're doing the right thing, with God's help, good will win. God will win. It might not be easy, but it will be worth it. Because God's with you when you step out in faith. He placed you where you are on purpose. He doesn't call you to fix everything. Just be faithful in your part. Because whether you're rebuilding broken walls or standing up to the darkness, when you do what is right with God's help, good will win. God will win. It might not be easy, but it will be worth it. We've got some questions now to think about as I hand back to Martin and the band.
What breaks your heart like it broke Nehemiah's? And what are you going to do about it? Where is God asking you to step out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to do the right thing, trusting that good will win because God is faithful?
Good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. She's quite down to earth, isn't she, Helen, when she speaks?
Yeah, very easy to understand, which is what we all need.
Absolutely right, we all need. Absolutely right. I didn't quite get all the Star Wars analogies because I'm not a Star Wars fan.
No, me neither. None of that meant anything to me.
No, but I did understand that, you know, when you do the right thing. Yeah. I really like, I wrote it down, she kept saying the same thing, didn't she? When you're doing the right thing, good will win, God will win. But I also like the next bit, may not be easy, but it will be worth it, I think, because sometimes, you know, we think, if we're doing the right thing, it'll be easy. Yeah. I think sometimes we can go the other way. We can think that we will definitely get opposition if we're doing the right thing. I think we don't always.
And that can be paralysing.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah. I think sometimes when we get opposition, we think, oh, that means we're doing the right thing. But again, it may not mean that. I think we sometimes tie these things together.
Yeah.
I think that's a false tying together.
I agree.
But I love the idea that, you know, if we're doing the right thing and trying to do the right thing.
So
now the questions, we were just looking at the questions earlier on, and we've said they're tricky questions today, aren't they? Tricky questions.
Really,
so the first question, so what breaks your heart like it broke Nehemiah's, and what are you going to do about it? So we were just talking about why Nehemiah's heart was broken.
I sort of feel that Nehemiah really picked up on what was on God's heart and why God wanted the walls rebuilt, which was not so that you had these pretty walls and everything looked nice and everyone could settle down and go back to normal. But God's heart for that, for the vision of the rebuilding the walls, was because the Jews had been in exile in Babylon and they'd gone away from God, and he wanted to draw them back to a place where he could help them to recommit to their covenant relationship with him. And I think although Nehemiah wanted to see the walls being built, I think really in his heart, that was the vision that he picked up as well. And that's why his heart was breaking for that vision, because he could see that his people were not in a good place with God. And until they came back into that covenant relationship, they would remain not in a good place. And although sometimes it's hard to understand, but rebuilding the walls, the temple had already been rebuilt, rebuilding the walls was part of what would help to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So I think he wasn't just picking up on a vision and being upset or brokenhearted for the fact that the walls were in ruins, but the bigger picture behind that, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's a great, and it's a, I mean, it's funny, what I really don't want us to do is to apply everything about Nehemiah to the church here.
Yes.
But it does feel very similar, doesn't it? That, you know, that we're talking about building a new building, which is really big and really scary, but it's not really about a building.
No.
It's about telling people about Jesus and that their relationship with Jesus is broken and needs to be restored.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's absolutely.
Yeah. Ooh, I've gone all goosey.
But that's absolutely what should be breaking our hearts, isn't it? And, you know, the sort of, you know, what breaks our heart.
Yeah.
I guess different things break our hearts. But I think if you stop and you look out around our community, I think these people don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
If that doesn't break our hearts, it should. Definitely.
Absolutely. It's people on the margins, isn't it? And, you know, people that are going through really hard, tough situations, people that don't know Jesus at all, and they really, really need him in their lives. It's hard.
Yeah, absolutely right. But it is interesting that the sort of the, going back to Russell, but about the praying and then acting. So, you know, we sometimes sing that song, don't we? You know, break our heart for what breaks yours. But in some ways, there's no point in having our hearts broken if we don't do something.
Something happens. I mean, I've written here, pray, seek God and ask God for guidance, because the next part of that question is what breaks your heart, but then what are you going to do about it? Yeah. And I suppose it goes back to Russell's message again last week, and Helen said it several times this morning, that Nehemiah prayed. He was close to God and he trusted God. Mm-hmm. And I think the closeness of that relationship, you know, it's like us, when we have a relationship with someone and we're very close, we feel safe with that person, and therefore that encourages us to do the right things.
Yes.
And I think it's similar with God, that when we feel close to him, we can trust if he's calling us out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But having said that, that doesn't make it easy, as Helen said. No. But it's worth it.
Absolutely right. Because one of the questions, isn't it, you know, where, the next question is, where is God asking you to step out of your comfort zone? And that's quite a personal question. We don't necessarily need to, you know.
That's exactly what I've written here, personal to each person. But just going back to the breaking of our hearts thing, I do wonder sometimes whether we, in the world, we're seeing it all the time on our TV screens, on our radios. We're seeing the pain that's in the world. Do we sometimes become desensitized to it and almost numb? And that, you know, that's very hard then for it to get through to our hearts. And I think we also, like, if you know, a lot of the wars that are going on at the moment, they're politically sensitive, they're religiously sensitive. So they can be a bit of a hot potato to pick up and respond to. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that, as the church, we need to respond to them, because we need to come before God and sort of mourn and grieve what's going on, but also come before him in repentance for what's going on. So I think part of having our heart broken is learning as the church to respond to it, which is not always easy, but
And you're absolutely right. And that point about us becoming numb to it is absolutely right. Absolutely. We're bombarded.
We get so used to seeing it, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, and it's only when sometimes when a story just touches you somewhere. So there was the terrible floods last week, and the children on the Christian camp. Well, we've got an American family staying with us.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Christian camps that they used to go on, and it's a completely different thing from what we do here. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people on Christian camps. And I'd got no idea And as they told me the story about them going to camp, suddenly that story
made it real.
Made it real. Mm. And I think you're absolutely right. We do become desensitized. And, you know, and I guess we can't feel bad that we can't do everything about everything.
No.
But Helen made the point, didn't she, about just doing something small.
Yeah.
You know, we can't save it all. We can't mend it all.
No, but collectively all those small things can come together.
Yeah.
I saw a video recently about the floods in Texas, and I didn't realise when I started listening to it that it was actually a pastor and his wife, but they were saying how their house had been flooded and they'd lost everything in the house and everything. And they were so touched by the church that had helped them. And then I began to realise that he was the pastor of that church. And he said to his wife, I don't know what I'm going to preach on now tomorrow, because it has to change in light of what's happened. And that really struck me that this was the day before he was going to preach, but he was going to push all that aside to go to God with what had just happened. And I think the more we do that, the softer our hearts will become, and the more our hearts will break for the things that break God's.
Oh, it's all good stuff.
So, where is God asking you to step out of your comfort zone? That is a very personal thing, isn't it? And it's going to be different for everybody, I guess.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because we just have to trust that he's going to go with us. It's tricky to discern God sometimes. And I guess go back to what we were saying right at the start about having that relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because it's, at the minute I'm still, I think probably last time I was here I said the same thing. You know, I'm still thinking, should I be going back to work? Or should I not be going back to work? Should I be getting involved? And I'm not sure. I really, really don't know. And I keep thinking something will arrive in my lap.
Yes.
Because that's what normally happens. Something just arrives. And that's not always the case, is it? Not always that clear.
It's not always clear. No. And sometimes God wants us to make the decision ourselves and step out.
Yes.
And it's not easy.
It's not easy. And it is scary. And I think, every time I think about someone starting a new job, everything inside me goes, oh, my goodness, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, and then when it comes to me, I think, starting a new job, absolutely not. I couldn't possibly. I wouldn't know anything. But you know that people start new jobs all the time, and it is something I would be able to do. But you just have to trust that God is going to. He's never, there's a song that I was playing, earlier on about, God's a firm foundation. He won't let us down. He never has before. In fact, Helen referenced this. He never has before, and he never will. And I think when Helen was saying about it, it's good to look back in the past.
Absolutely.
That's where we see when we have stepped out. We've all done things that have stepped out of our comfort zone. I don't know about you. Getting married was a bit scary.
Yeah.
I hadn't done that before. we've all done things that are stepping out of where we're comfortable.
Yeah.
And God has always been there.
Yeah. And I think when you invite God into a situation, whether it's a new job or whatever it is, he does come in, and in his own way, he shows us. You get a feeling. Again, it keeps coming back to having that relationship with Jesus, doesn't it? But I feel like my friend, Tracy, she has this wonderful saying, you know it and you know her. And it's that kind of thing that you just sometimes know when God, you just get a really strong feeling that God is saying, yes, this is what I want you to do. But I do think he will find ways, if you invite him in to a situation, to be there with you and to help you know what to do next.
And I guess the other side of that is on those days when you really can't, because we may have those days, don't we, where you really can't, you're actually even questioning, does God actually exist? I'm sure it's just not just me that has those days and those times. But in those times, they're the times when you can't feel it and don't know it in your knower.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
Yeah,
but somewhere else there's an even deeper knowledge inside that God is there.
Yeah,
and God will be faithful and has never let us down and never will. And just fight on through. This is how we fight our battles. You're fighting with one hand, but you're still holding on with the other hand.
Picture of Nehemiah. I love that picture.
And even when it feels like you're just hanging on by the tiny thread, we are still hanging on.
Yeah,
with that hand while we're facing all the fighting.
Yeah, no, that's true.
One more question, but
are you willing to do the right thing, trusting that God will win because God is faithful? I've written big question.
Yeah, I'll have a word with Helen later about these questions. You know, fancy making us think.
Oh, it's so easy to say, yes, of course I would do the right thing. But I've actually written here, I hope I would do the right thing and put my trust in God. I do believe that if the things that's burning on your heart is of God, then he will equip you and open the door of opportunity for you to do something about it. But you know that you may face opposition.
Yeah.
So you come back to that again.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. Absolutely. And sometimes we do have to be brave, don't we? That, you know, that Helen said something about standing up for somebody else that, you know, you know, at work or whatever, or in a sort of friendship circle. And that can be tough.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I think, I don't know if this is a thing. For me, it feels easier as I'm getting older.
Yeah.
Maybe the younger, more confident than I was. But as I'm getting older, I find it easier to say what I actually think and just be able to...
To be more who you are.
Yeah. And then which then becomes easier to stand up for other people and support other people when everybody else isn't.
Yes.
Because you can be confident. And
yeah.
I guess as our faith gets older. But I'm with you. I know. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I don't know what else you can say to that, really. I would love to just sit here and say, yes, I would definitely do the right thing. But you can't sort of work that out in advance.
No.
You're not going to know until something comes up where you need to make that decision. And then you'll know.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, watch this space, we'll feedback.
Yes.
but I think you're right. And I think, we just hope and pray that we would be able to hold on and, you know, trust that God is with us in the right thing.
Yeah.
And that we know what, sometimes it's about knowing what the right thing is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And also it's good to be part of a church community because you can talk about those things with your house group or whoever you're close to. You can pray together about things and that helps as well. It's really important not to be isolated.
Absolutely. That's really important. In fact, I wrote down, Helen said five things. I don't know if I got them all. Oh, no, I can't see them all. They were, and she talked about joining a group, didn't she?
Yes.
She said, remember God's faithfulness, pray regularly, use scripture, keeping verses close to heart, being in a supportive community and taking positive steps.
Yeah.
I think all those things, I think that supportive community, as you said, is really important.
It is, yeah. I think, you know, I've been going through a bit of a hard time recently, but last Sunday I was given the same verse three times. And you think, well, that's not a coincidence.
No.
Really bizarrely, one of them was in the prayer that Martin read out. Do you know that prayer?
Yeah.
And I didn't realise it was my prayer.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I wrote it years ago.
Wow.
And it had the same verse in it. So, I think God does break through the community that you're in lets you know he's still there.
Love it when that happens. You just think God's just sort of going, oh God, I'm really going to bless you today. God is good. Well, that was fun. Hope you've enjoyed listening to our musings and our ramblings. If you've got any comments, feel free to add them onto the comments if you're watching on YouTube. You can always send us questions if you've got questions or comments if you think that we were, you know, right off the mark. You can, and there it is on the screen, gotquestions@holybaptist.org.uk, and someone will get back to you. Any comments or questions? If you think someone else you know might enjoy this, then share it with them. Share the YouTube, share the podcast.
Yeah.
Catch Russell's from last week if you haven't. Yeah. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Apparently that's a good thing. Subscribe to our YouTube.
Just subscribe to everything. HBC.
Yeah, and you can find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook.
Yeah,
and there's stuff everywhere. So it's been really good to have you.
Yeah, it's been lovely. Thank you.
And have a good week. And someone will see you next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
That is it for today's episode. Well done for joining us and making it here to the end. Hopefully, you feel slightly encouraged at least, or that you want to follow Jesus just that little bit more closely. You can join us in the room on a Sunday, but if that's too big of a next step for you, did you know you could also join us online for a video feed to one of our morning services? Do get in contact with us if you'd like to find out how you can do that. If you've got any questions about what you've heard today or about anything that's to do with following Jesus and just church lives, things we might be able to help you with, we've got an email address just for you. It's gotquestions@holybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you there. Don't forget to share this. If you've enjoyed it, somebody else might do too. Share it with your friends. If you want to keep up to date with all that we do, hit that subscribe button to maintain that link with us and all that we produce. You can find it as well, links to these different things, on hawleybaptist.org.uk/media as well. Thank you for joining us again. We pray God blesses you, and we will look forward to you joining us next time.